This is the My Natural Beat Podcast, episode number 22. I am Cookie, your host. The My Natural Beat podcast inspires and encourages exploration of the world and of your mind, body, and spirit whilst celebrating and connecting strong, courageous individuals full of moxie from around the world, one conversation at a time. Today we welcome Wonder Woman Sam Vander Whelan, attorney turned entrepreneur, to the My Natural Beat podcast. Sam practiced as a corporate attorney for 5 years before she started her career as an entrepreneur. Prior to finding her groove, working with women online entrepreneurs to ensure their businesses and websites are up to legal par, Sam worked as a health coach and in corporate wellness. To say she is a go-getter is an understatement. Sam is a doer in all senses of the word. Learning more about Sam's journey and how it has beautifully blossomed into where she is today makes me feel excited and totally in awe of the work she has done in carving out her niche business. Sam shares with us the importance of finding what makes you tick and being open and curious, as well as playful, as your business starts to take shape and develop. In addition to running her own business, Sam loves to travel and to experience hygge moments. Living in Denmark, I am very familiar with hygge and its presence in my daily life. I hope you will enjoy our conversation, and if you're curious about working with Sam, have any questions for her, do not hesitate in reaching out to her. She is extremely knowledgeable and she is so kind. So I hope that this episode will bring you a lot to think about and also will inspire you. Before we get to the show, I would like to give a big thanks to the guys in the band Nonstop out of Boulder, Colorado. I would like to thank you for letting me use your music. My intro and conclusion song is called Instant Gratification. If you're listening to the podcast via Facebook, check out their Facebook page, Nonstop, that's capital N-A apostrophe A-N, space stop. If you're listening online, check out their website at www.naanstopmusic.com. And if you're listening via iTunes, check them out at Nonstop. That's capital N-A apostrophe A-N space stop. So with this, let's get to the show. Hey, it's nice to see you.
You too.
I'm really happy to have you on today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And before we dive in, I'd love to, you mentioned you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you've been living there. How long have you been living there?
I've lived here my whole life, other than a couple of quick jaunts to Europe to try to live overseas for a few months. But generally speaking, my roots have always been planted in Philadelphia.
Okay. And what is your favorite part about Philadelphia?
I love Philly. I think my favorite part about Philadelphia, twofold, so I can't pick one. But my first one is that the neighborhoods all have their own personalities and kind of feel to them. So mm-hmm. I love that depending on what you're looking for, you can go to like a different part of Philadelphia. And they're all so unique. The history, obviously, I mean, you can't get away from the history in Philadelphia. So that's wonderful. And although the people are tough, their toughness is actually layered under a lot of love. So it's like, I know deep down they would do anything for you. But I think my second biggest thing that I love about Philly is that it's only 45 minutes away from the beach. So that's a pretty nice, or just where it's situated in general. We can run to New York, to DC, to Baltimore. So right. I really appreciate that about Philly.
Cool. It's the city of brotherly love?
Yeah, it's a little misleading, but deep down, they do love their brothers. It's hard to tell sometimes. That's so true.
Cool. So we can, yeah, let's move in. Let's get into your natural beat.
Yeah, I love that.
So tell us a little bit about how you spend your days and what kind of compelled you to be this online entrepreneur, resource. I mean, is that semi-accurate?
Yeah, that's a good, it's a good description. Attorney turned entrepreneur, as I always say, but
that's right.
I only use the word entrepreneur because I like to leave it open because I'm very business centric and I have so many ideas and things I want to do. I don't think we have to be one trick ponies, but yeah, essentially I was a corporate attorney as a litigator for about 5 years in the Philadelphia area before I left. And I actually left to start my own online health coaching practice. So I was working with women really just all over the U.S. and all online, never in person. I was also doing some corporate wellness. So I was going into companies in the Philadelphia and New York area to give talks. And I was doing some wellness consulting for some pretty big American food companies, which was really cool and just a very unique and different experience. But one of the things that doing that kind of showed me and opened up to me was that there was this entire world of online entrepreneurship that I had no clue about when I was a practicing attorney, because those people were not coming, you know, people in the online space were not coming to us, hiring us as attorneys, or it was very rare. I mean, because it was either too expensive or because the attorneys just flat out didn't understand, you know, what people are doing online. And so when I was opened up to this whole space, a few things happened. One, I just learned about it, but two was that I started to make friends in the industry who had all different kinds of online businesses who then got to know me and would say, like, hey, I saw, yeah, I know you're, like, left the law and you don't want to do that anymore, but, like, you must know, you know, what do I need for this and what do I need to know about that? And I was like, oh, fine, okay, I'll just tell you. You know, I thought it was, like, such an inconvenience in the beginning, or maybe it was my way of giving back, you know, kind of healing some of the wounds that I felt still from left over from being a lawyer and working in a big law firm. And so I thought, you know, I'll just help them out and I'll see how it goes. And it was funny, and this is why I always suggest to my clients just to be, like, really open and curious and be playful with things in your business and keep it light and fun, because honestly, there's no point in being an entrepreneur. It is not a walk in the park. It is not all, like, cupcakes and rainbows. And so it is really hard. And so if you're not having fun with it, like, you might as well go back to getting benefits and getting a paycheck. So I went with that advice, with my own advice, and just had fun with it at first. And I was like, geez, I really like this. And, like, I get way more excited and I felt really useful. And that's something that I've learned about myself. I think that's really important for us all to do mm-hmm. in our businesses or whatever we're doing, is that, like, you need to find out what makes you tick. It doesn't really matter what everybody else cares about, but, like, if it's important to you to feel helpful and that, like, you take a lot of pride in that, then no wonder why I felt like, you know, I could give somebody just one piece of advice and I unlocked, like, a whole series of things for them, and that felt so good to me. It felt like I was actually helping people even more than when I was telling them, like, what to eat and how to move their body, and that was just me. So I pretty quickly transitioned into it because I realized it was not only what I wanted to do, but it was a smart business decision. I'm very open about that. And I started, so it's been almost a year, not even a year. It's been about 10 months. It took off faster than I could keep up with. It's growing a little bit faster than I can keep up with. But most importantly, this business is very fulfilling. I have a lot of wonderful clients who have these really cool businesses. So I feel like I'm helping them to help other people, which is right. really cool.
Right. Feeling. Cool. And so after having the experience as a lawyer and then finding your way with your current business, helping entrepreneurs, did you, I guess you never had imagined that this would be something that you would have created for yourself, right?
Quite the opposite, because I was so adamant about never ever touching the law again, honestly, I'm in it in a very different way. I'm not practicing law. I don't give out legal advice, so instead I offer these DIY legal templates, and they're like these fill-in-the-blank instant download documents, and I provide a lot of customer service, but I'm not giving out legal advice, so I'm in it in kind of on my own terms, which is kind of cool.
Right.
But what I also realized, and that this is just something I had never thought of before, was, like, you know, I thought back more about what bothered me about the legal industry when I was in it, or my experience, and feeling like women didn't have a lot of access, feeling like young people didn't have a lot of access, that a lot of people, frankly, just didn't have access. And working primarily with male attorneys, male partners, you know, who are running the show, who were a little bit dismissive, a little bit kind of like, that's cute to women business owners or something like that, who would come in just some of the general attitudes, I think, and the sentiments that even that I experienced when I told them I was starting a little health coaching business on the side. It was always called little or cute or something like that, or like a plaything, a hobby. So I saw how I was treated, and when I started to think, well, wait a minute, I have friends out there now who are doing this, and like, they're pretty successful, like they're doing well, whatever that, by the way, means, whatever successful means to them. But it's like, it's not little or cute. Like, this is like, people are doing it. Like, it's really happening. And so it made me feel very defensive of that whole process. So I never pictured kind of merging those two things of like creating a business that was really different than the traditional legal model, but that also to help to overcome the obstacles that I saw while I was practicing in the traditional model.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's so, so cool what you've done.
Thank you.
Now, when you started your health coaching, when you kind of, when you left the law, were you anxious? How did you sort of, you know, deal with, how did you cope with that?
So, I mean, one thing I think just from a practical perspective was that I got as much as humanly possible done prior to leaving the law so that I was still getting my paycheck and I was still working full time and all of that. So I was utilizing my nights and weekends. You know, I got my certification. I got all the legal stuff set up, obviously, and the website and everything else was developing some content, started to network. And then I negotiated to drop down to part-time for 6 months so I could get the business even more built up. I'm just somebody who doesn't tend to do very well with, like, being half in two different things. So I just really wanted to go all in. And I felt very adamant about doing that, but then as soon as I did, I basically panicked. So yes, I felt very anxious when I first left, and it was my first few months of just being like, it's all on me now. Like, I can't use anything as an excuse. I can't say, I'm still working part-time now. It was just me. If I wasn't bringing it in, it was all my fault. Right. At least that's how it felt. And yeah, I'm part of myself. I'm an anxious person to begin with, so it probably doesn't help. And yeah, it was very nerve-wracking. And I wish someone just asked me for advice on this the other day, and I said I wish I would have been more patient with myself in the beginning.
Okay,
I
was going to ask you.
I planned a little bit differently so that there wasn't that much financial pressure on me to perform right away. I think it was naive to believe that that would have come in so soon. So I think I wish I would have. You know, I did ramp down for those 6 months, but I wasn't thinking about not making an income for a while. I was thinking like, oh, that'll, you know, you put in enough work, that'll just happen. I was pretty naive about it. So I wish I would have planned better in that sense, because I don't think it's very healthy to enter into a business with that much pressure on your shoulders. There's already enough pressure.
Right. Yeah. And so did you, which sort of, did you find resources online, or did you just kind of do it yourself? When you're putting yourself out there and getting at the very beginning, you know, getting your stuff together, did you have anybody help you, or did you just kind of see what sticks, see what worked and what didn't work?
Yeah, in the beginning, I would say it was a mixture of leaning on friends. So I've always been a very big advocate of, if you see somebody out there doing something that you want to do, contact them. Or even if it's in the relative, like, same space, you know, that you see they have an online business, maybe it doesn't have to be the exact one you want. But I'm very big on just like interviewing people, essentially, like just talking to people, making genuine connections. So I reached out to so many people. I had so many virtual coffee dates or FaceTime calls with people. If people were around me, I met them wherever they live, trying to make it convenient for them. So I really did a ton of that in the beginning. There's always a point that you reach, I think, where you do that a little too much. Like, I could tell where it had got, I was like, okay, I gathered enough information. I kind of need to move on now. But in the beginning, that was huge for me. And then I also just poured myself in, like, 24/7 to learning. So that's probably the lawyer in us. Like, you know, I love to learn anyway and very self-motivated. So finding resources online to teach me about all of the, kind of like the tools, like, it felt like every day as I was developing my business, I was like opening a new section of a toolkit, because I'd be like, okay, so I have to run a webinar in order to promote this. Well, what's a webinar? And how do you promote a webinar? How do I get people onto my email list? Like, what are you talking about? So I started to read all about this and just poured myself into those resources. I didn't, I know a lot of people, I don't want to say fall into the trap, but just kind of, they feel like they need to purchase a lot of things in the beginning, like purchase courses and that kind of stuff. I didn't do any of that, so I have actually still never purchased a course. And so I really just took the time to try to learn it, and I believe in trial by fire and trial by error, I suppose. So just screwing some stuff up and then being like, oh, what? So I won't do it that way again. I think that's really important. And I think it's actually really helpful for the learning process.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself go? Is it going to continue to develop in this realm, or are you just going to continue? Like, do you see where you're going to go, or is it still very, like, you're still very open to, you know, different avenues and channels?
I'm somewhere in the middle, I think, because I see it growing, and I'm happy about that. That is obviously my goal, is to continue to grow this. But I'm also, I feel like I've learned enough now to know that, like, I don't necessarily know where it's going to grow or go. So I just feel like kind of staying in the moment and saying, like, this is where I would like to see it go. But, like, maybe there's something in mind that's even better than what I can dream up, because I didn't dream this up. And it was, like, not even a year ago that I was sitting here probably crying with my hands in my head saying, like, this isn't working. I'm not making enough. I hadn't started this business yet. And I didn't envision it. And even once I did envision it, I only envisioned it as, like, legal templates. You know, so I created a few. And then people started calling and saying, well, how do I work with you one-on-one? It's like, oh, you want to work? Okay, well, I'll create that service. So I created that service. And then it was like, well, how can I learn more? Oh, okay, well, maybe I should create my own course. So I created Fearlessly Legal, my course.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've not seen all this stuff a million steps ahead. It's right. All happened through experience. So I'm very curious to see where it goes and what people need. I want to stay open. The whole point of my business is to serve the need of women entrepreneurs in the online space for the stuff that's not being answered in other places, or it's not being answered affordably. So I want to stay open as online business changes, you know, or maybe there are going to be new or different needs that I can't even foresee now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And do you want to talk a little bit about your course, or do you want to wait till towards the end?
We can talk about it, because this is one of those things that came up, because it,
okay.
Really listening to, if you haven't started a business already, then it would probably be just doing market research. If you've started a business and it's either like you don't know what step to take next or where to add or subtract services or products, really listening to, like, what are people asking you? And then why are they asking you this? Like, why aren't they getting this information somewhere else? And, like, what's available to them? So I paid attention to the fact that people were asking for these one-on-one sessions with me. That I call bizstorming sessions. So they're like 90-minute, just a one-time intensive. And so people would ask questions, but because of the nature of my business, I'm not giving them legal advice. So instead, I was really like teaching them. And I used to joke that I could like record something and play it on my phone and like walk away and nobody would know, because I felt like I was saying the same thing over and over. And when you get to that part in your business where you see that you're creating the same thing over and over or saying the same thing over, you have to think of, like, how can I scale this in a different way? So for me, that was like, okay, I can put this together into a course. And if I put this together into a course, then everybody can try to learn this information all at once. But plus, instead of just having one 90-minute session, now I can put all this information together in one place so that they can learn more.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently created Fearlessly Legal, which is like over 20 video modules of anything from starting your business and running your business, like registering in the United States and all that, and all the steps that come along with that, down to working with people one-on-one or running a group program or anything like that. So it's a really cool program so far. The women have found it very helpful, and I hope that it's somewhere that women will continue to go back to who are involved in it, so they can continue to learn more.
Right. Cool. I scrolled through it and I saw the different module template. You know, it looks really great.
Thank you. It was a lot of work, but it was really fun to put together. And that's like, it's just another example where you're doing this stuff over and over. You start to realize, like, you might not be able to see the path forward now, but once you're doing it, you're like, oh, duh, that's the obvious thing. You know, that's how I can put this together.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, at this point, I think we'll sort of turn a little bit towards the theme of the podcast, which is My Natural Beat, which doesn't mean my natural beat, but in this instance means your natural beat and what you do to stay in your natural beat, stay healthy, happy, creative, confident, feeling good, and vibrant. So, yeah, the answers that you'll, yeah, whatever you'll respond is sort of giving us insight into your natural beat.
Yeah, that would be great.
So how do you explore the world?
Well, by traveling quite a bit. So I really, really love to travel. Mm-hmm. I like to travel to places that are off the beaten path. And so maybe not either like all of the tourist traps, or if I go somewhere, I like to go kind of see the tourist stuff and then get out of it and really get involved more in the community. So just as an example, mm-hmm. I went to Thailand because I've just always wanted to go to Thailand. But I went up and I donated time and energy and money to the Elephant Nature Reserve, Elephant Nature Park in Chiang Mai in Thailand.
Okay.
And, you know, spent my time there instead of some of the other places that maybe people go. But that's how I really like to get to know a place. I also like to go to cooking school wherever I go. So I find that's another really cool way to get to know how I see the world and how I see other people.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you have any places, I guess, on your list or current travels?
I'm running low on places these days, which is a good problem to have. I have not been to Africa yet. That's, I think, the only continent I've not been to. So I'm really curious to go to Africa. Mm-hmm. Probably again because of both the animal and the cooking elements that I would love to do there. So I just got back from living in France. That was really awesome, which got me to want to explore France's like less populated regions a little bit more. So that was not something I had done previously, and we lived in Lyon, so I thought that was really cool. And I would probably like to tour around Austria a bit more because that's where my family kind of heritage is from. So I would like to go see the area where they are originally from, which I've not been to.
Uh-huh. And how is it living in France? You were able to continue with your work?
Yes. So it was really a cool experience and got me to question so much about what I'm doing. It was a great reminder because it served as this reminder, which I'm always telling my clients and I need to remind myself, is that like you're designing the life that you want to live. You're designing a business based on the life, hopefully, that you want to live, right? So if you don't want to work 100 hours, then hopefully you're not designing a business that requires you to be, you know, trading time for money or whatever for 100 hours. So France was a really great experience for me, seeing another culture who's doing perfectly fine but not working like we used to work at law firms or anything like that. So it was a great reminder to like stay in my lane, create the business that I want. I don't necessarily need to make, you know, $8 billion a year. And so I'd rather be happy and be comfortable. And I want to make sure I design a business that's consistent with it.
Right. Kind of reminded you of like, not everyone has to rush around, speed to work and speed home and...
It made me very conscientious about how much time I spend in coffee shops on my computer because I like to get out of the house. I work from home, but I like to get out of the house and go sit in the cafe. And then I was in France and I was like, I'm the only person in here on my computer, let alone my phone. Nobody was even on their phone. And so it was pretty wild to think, wait, so you could just go to a cafe and you just sit there and you just do nothing, like you don't even do anything, or maybe you meet somebody and like you guys don't have phones on the table. So that was a really great experience for me to realize, am I really savoring life's cozy moments, as I call them, the hygge moments?
I saw your picture.
am I savoring that, or am I rushing through, and like what's the point? I mean, right. Do you want to have a life or a business, a job or whatever that's just doing that, or are you comfortable with something different?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Very good. And how do you explore your mind?
So through meditation. I like the Insight Meditation Timer app. That's the one that I use. I really like guided meditation for some reason. I like somebody talking to me. So I listen to those. I'd say that I'm in other ways exploring my mind by making sure that I'm staying creative and fun in my own way, whatever that means to me. So one of the biggest things I've learned since leaving the law is that I always thought I wasn't creative because I can't like draw or paint, but that's not my version of creativity. So really making sure I'm putting in the activities in my business to stay creative. And also sometimes I have to ask myself some hard questions where I'm like, have you done anything fun in like the last couple of weeks? Or have you done anything just for yourself or like to slow down or just not done something, you know, just sat there? And a lot of times the answer is no. So I think checking in with my mind and asking, you know, what could you do for fun that would, yeah, what do you need right now?
Yeah. Cool. I like that.
Yeah.
How do you explore your body?
That's a good question too. So for me, it's probably exercising. I actually enjoy it. So I'm one of those weird people where I like to, I think I have a lot of anxiety. So for me, exercise feels like that excess shake off of energy that I need. I always feel better. I feel more positive, a little bit more like airy and energized. So I recently got like an indoor cycling bike for the house. And so that's been really nice because I was just finding that with my current schedules being like home and working from home, I would just get sucked into work. And then I would have, you know, a podcast interview or a client call or something like this in an hour. And I'd be like, well, I can't go to the gym and come back. So it was checking in with myself, my mind, my body, everything, and saying, what can I create that would work for me?
Yeah.
And that was one of the answers. So that's what I have now.
Cool. So you do the biking indoors.
I love it. Yeah. I get outside as much as possible. So I also walk every single morning before I start work. I usually walk at lunch and then at the end of the day too. I just do like a little loop around the house or around the block, but it's great to get some fresh air too. So I mean, I get outside in other ways, but
yeah,
having this has been a savior. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, as you can imagine.
And do you follow any sort of, do you tend to gravitate towards certain foods or avoid certain foods because you know that they don't make you feel good or anything like that?
Yeah, so I've never eaten pork or very many meats in my life. So I've always was like, growing up, it was like a little bit of chicken or red meat. About 8 years ago, I met a baby cow at a dairy farm in Wisconsin where my husband's from, and his name was Bo, and I have lots of pictures of me and Bo like snuggling up, and I really fell in love with Bo, and I said to the dairy farmer who was showing us around, like, what's the deal with Bo? Like, he was a baby, but it was like, what's going to happen to him? And so he's like, well, as he gets older, you know, he becomes a dairy cow and blah, 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 or she becomes a dairy cow. And then she's like, but, you know, then afterwards, you know what happens to retired dairy cattle, right? And I'm like, no, I've never heard of this. And she's like, they become ground beef. I was like, what? And so it's like, wait, so their whole life they get milked and then they have to become meat? Like, that's awful. So I have not eaten red meat once since that day, ever. This has been about 8 years. So it was more of a sensitive, like, emotional choice, not really not agreeing with me. But I know it wouldn't agree with me now, not having not eaten it for so long. So really, these days, I eat mostly plant-based. At home, I cook all plant-based because I just think it's really fun. I love Oshi Glows and, like, Minimalist Baker and all those.
Yeah.
So I just, like, cook everything they make. It's all amazing. And sometimes I can't believe that they've made something that's all out of plants. So I just love to cook that way at home. And when I go out, I have, like, cheese or something like that. But I notice it doesn't quite agree with you as much after you don't eat it so much at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Maybe I saw there was a cafe. I have to find it. Someone posted. I think there's a few cool veggie places in Philadelphia, right?
There are lots. Yeah, so many good ones now. We're lucky. Like, my husband and I were just talking about this the other day because I was saying to him, it's really easy to eat that way here. You know, you go to restaurants and there are always options on there now that say like vegan or vegetarian or
yeah,
plant-based something. And where he's from in Wisconsin, it's still very difficult to eat that way. So it's just, we're lucky to be somewhere where we can get away with that.
Yeah, exactly. And so how do you explore your spirit?
It's a good question. So I'm not religious, but I guess that's not always spirituality. But I would say actually the business has awoken me to some things that I was not aware of. Just dealing with things on a more conscious level, being really aware of like, how I'm interacting with people, how I'm showing up to my clients, how they're showing up. And also for, you know, even working on things like money mindset or abundance and scarcity, like I've almost been, I don't know, more open to those kinds of things as I've continued to develop the business. But beyond that, I would say probably just my meditation, the meditation app stuff that I listen to, tries to get in touch with some sort of higher power. I'm just personally not religious.
Yeah, cool. And is there anything, I guess, that makes you feel electric and alive when you either see it or do it or hear it or experience it?
Cooking, for sure.
Yeah?
Cooking and animals, probably. I love animals.
Do you have a dog?
So we wanted to adopt a dog. So we went through the adoption process, and then we were going to France and Spain. So we were living overseas. So that put it on hold, and then we actually had just gotten approved to adopt a dog, and we're supposed to pick him up on Sunday, but the foster mom decided to keep the dog because she liked him so much that apparently he was a good dog. So we were like heartbroken on Sunday. We're like, you know what, we'll start again in a couple of weeks, but we were pretty bummed about that
one. I'm sorry. I understand.
I know, it's a bummer because we were really excited about it, but I watch like my sister's dogs or friends' dogs and things like that. And all of their kids and everybody else, but I try to integrate animals as much as I can to my life. There's a nature reserve near our house. It's back in the woods. It's like halfway between here and the shore, and it's really beautiful. And they rescue a lot of animals, so we'll go there. Or when we travel, I integrate that. But really, cooking is like the thing I always think about. If I had 24 hours left, I'd probably cook from now to when I was done. Cook for people I love, of course, and like hang out with other people while doing it, but I would cook. I just love to cook.
And you'd cook plant-based stuff, and it would taste delicious.
Yeah, my meal last night was good. I'm still thinking about it.
What did you have?
Last night I made, Trader Joe's has this new egg fettuccine that's gluten-free, and it only has a few ingredients. So I got the egg fettuccine, and then what I've been doing is, like, once a week I've been making a fresh pasta dish that has the vegetables of the moment. So I picked out asparagus, spinach, peas, artichokes, onions, and garlic, I think. Yeah, and then did, like, lemon sauce with almond. I do, like, almond milk and lemon juice.
Cool.
It's really, really good.
That sounds good.
It was really good.
But until then, have you heard of trustedhousesitters.com?
No, but that sounds fun.
I have to send you the link because I just like made a website account, and you can, it's a good way to travel as well if you have a dog or you don't have a dog, but you make an account and it's, you can post yourself, and then people who need a dog sitter in your town or wherever you want to travel, you just look and see. And then you stay in their place and take care of their dog. And so on Thursday, we're going to go house sit just north of Copenhagen.
That's so cool.
And we sat for this family last October. So the dog is a coton de tulier. They're like white cotton dogs. Oh. And I'm so excited.
That's cool. What town is it that they live in?
They live in Charlottenlund. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just north of Copenhagen.
I read the book, The Year of Living Danishly.
You did?
Which I'm obsessed with, yes. It kind of spurred me, actually, to leave my job. And I wrote to Helen Russell, and I told her that. And she actually responded, which was so cool.
She did?
I saved the email. It was, like, such a nice email, and she was so kind about it. But her husband worked for Lego, so they lived in, what was it, our house, or?
No, they live in,
Jutland?
Yeah, they live in Jutland, other part of Denmark. It's in Vejle. It's near Vejle. It might be Vejle or another town nearby, but it's different vibe than Copenhagen.
I hear. It sounded like a funny little town, yeah.
Anyways, let me see. I have a few more little questions here. Okay. If someone, and maybe you kind of already touched on this, if someone were just starting out with their own sort of online space and thinking that they wanted to do XYZ, but, you know, of course they're staying open to what, you know, actually they could actually provide better, sort of like what you found, what advice would you give to them? Or would you give them any advice? Would you just tell them to start swimming?
No, not necessarily. So, I mean, there's a certain level of planning that I think is smart. I think it's finding the balance of planning and trying and experimenting. So that's it. It's a tough balance to find. I honestly don't think there's any perfect way to do it. I think I see it more as like a seesaw, where there are going to be times when the seesaw is going to be too far the one way and too far the other. So I found myself sometimes planning too much, and then sometimes was like, I'm out here without a plan. This is a little too much. So okay. It's really going back and forth until you kind of get the seesaw to level out and okay. find it just right.
Cool.
But I think talking to other people, some of the things that we've talked about, like talking to other people who do what you do, just being, but really just in an informational way, not with any sort of agenda, just listen to them, gather information, experiment, try new things, mm-hmm. and really just having more fun. I think honestly coming from a place of joy, if you think about like what would make you feel joyful, and then just trying a few of those things and then adjust and see what you think.
Cool. I really like that. So maybe to sort of round out our conversation, I want to ask, at the end of each conversation, I like to ask my guest to share their favorite go-to routine, habit, activity, behavior that, if not always, almost always leaves them feeling in their natural beat.
So I would say that it's been a big game changer for me to wake up and not look at my phone. So that's been a big improvement. I can just tell over my general attitude and my natural beat, because it was putting me in somebody else's beat if I was checking my phone, you know? So I don't sleep with my phone next to me anymore, which has been a good game changer. And then it's just been a commitment to myself that I don't look at it. So even if I go and unplug it and take it downstairs with me or something, I just don't look at it. I don't check it. Doing a few things in the morning that I want to do, so whether that's meditate, stretch, drink a big glass of water. I really love coffee, so I have my coffee in the morning and just kind of use that as like quiet, cozy time. And then taking my walk, just kind of getting that natural movement and some fresh air, I think, has been a really big game changer for me. And then approaching the day on my own terms instead of kind of letting the stress and anxiety of social media or email or whatever else get to me first.
Yeah, I like that. Then I'm in someone else's beat.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true.
And do you have any sort of words or anything else that you'd like to share or that you haven't already gotten to?
I think just that, you know, I always like to share the words that I wish I would have heard. And maybe I wouldn't have listened to them at the time or accepted them or anything at the time, but just knowing that it's never too late to pivot. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how far down a path you are. I don't care how much money you've invested, how much time, how hard the bar exam was. Like, those experiences will never change, and they're always going to make you who you are. So for me, spent like over $100,000 on law school, still paying off my loan. I mean, it doesn't matter. I spent a lot of time beating myself up. I spent a lot of time delaying my happiness for those reasons, and I wasn't getting any happier. So staying where you are is not going to make you any happier. Really, the only opportunity that you have is to change, you know, to change it up. And I also like to tell people that nothing is fatal, as I say. So, like, if you change it up and you want to go back, like, that's fine. I mean, as long as you don't burn all your bridges and leave everything in a bad way, like, you leave on good terms or you make changes and choices, the people who mean a lot to you will show up, the experiences will still be there to go back to if you need to. And honestly, I think that, you know, I always thought it was so cheesy when I would ask people this in the past who had left their career, not necessarily the law or something, but they would all say like, oh, I wish I would have done it sooner. And I'd be like, oh, everybody says that. But I really think that's true now, because I understand what they meant, which was just like, you make it such a bigger deal than it needs to be in your head. I think we think it's such a big deal, especially if you only ever done like one thing or you spent a lot of time and money. It's just really not as big of a leap as it feels like at the time.
Right.
And looking back on it, you're like, yeah, it wouldn't have been that big. It only actually gets to be a bigger deal the longer you stay, or the longer you stay in the thing that you're staying in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
That would be my advice.
Thank you. And I will make sure to link all of your website and your social media pieces towards the end of the show memo, where I have...
Yeah.
Have your space. And this was really great.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm so glad that you got to come, you know, that we got to talk, and
it was great chatting with you. I'm so glad that we connected.
Likewise. We'll talk again, okay?
Thank you. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank
you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Sam Vanderweelen and I on episode number 22 of the My Natural Beat podcast. If you want to know more about Sam and her work, please check out mynaturalbeat.com, where you can find her episode, and you can also find links to her website and where she is online. I hope that you learned something from this show, or perhaps were inspired, especially by this episode. And if you like the show, I would be very grateful if you could leave a review on iTunes and or share it with your friends. That way more people can be inspired to be in their natural beat, as well as learn about all of the very interesting things that my guests are doing. So with this, I hope that you continue in your natural beat. And by that, I mean continue to explore the world and your mind, body, and spirit. And may you continue to move to the tune of your natural beat. So with this, I bid you adieu and wish you well. Until the next time.